Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us this afternoon. And I imagine some of you are probably still digging out from the snow. I said to people, the weatherman was wrong again. I think we were supposed to get 5 to 6 inches. I had 15 and a half inches at least at my place. So I guess he was partially right, because you have to have 5 to 6 inches or 5 to 8 inches to get 15 and a half. But I hope you're able to get out and about now. The roads are pretty clear, quite a bit different than when we drove up to the radio station Sunday night for our Sunday night broadcast at 11 o'clock. we had to start at 11 o'clock, because if you don't know, we're on from Sunday nights at 11 o'clock until midnight. Roads were horrible. 77 was really bad, and it was even worse going home. But they've got the roads pretty well cleared off now, so I hope you're able to get out and about. And it's wintertime in Northeast Ohio, and just like it was back, it feels like and looks like it did back in the 1970s when the Ice Age was coming. Remember that? For those of you who were around then, that's all we heard in school was the Ice Age is coming, the Ice Age is coming, these big snows and cold winters, it's proof the Ice Age is coming. Well, actually, we don't know exactly what's happening, but God knows, and He's in control, and He's got a plan, He's got a purpose, so I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. Let's open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody today. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you for the opportunity, and help us lift up and glorify Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to give a shout out as we get started here. State Representative Romer and State Senator Rogner, and get some good conservative pro-life representative senator that we have here in Ohio, and I'm in their district, so full disclosure there. But I was thinking about that in line with the topic here this afternoon. It's the 49th anniversary, 49th March for Life in Washington, D.C., 49th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And I wanted to put the March for Life first, put the emphasis on life, because, of course, Roe v. Wade put the emphasis on death. And we understand that in God's eyes, all lives are important, and we understand that life clearly begins at the time of conception. You know, I studied biology, got a biology degree, and that's one thing that we understand very clear in terms of biology, is that life begins at conception. And you get 23 genes from your father, you get 23 genes from your mother, and at the moment of conception, a new human life is formed. And David wrote about that in Psalm 139 when he said in verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." That last part there is a reference, a poetic reference to the womb. "But my substance was not hid from thee," meaning that God knows exactly what your genetic makeup was going to be at that moment. When you look at the total possible combinations of DNA, the 23 from your father, the 23 from your mother, and it's estimated that the number of possible combinations is probably exceeds the number of known stars in the universe. It's a fantastically large number, and God knows when that comes to be, what exactly that combination is. And then he says a very interesting statement here in verse 16, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And of course, the DNA code is a language. It has all the characteristics of a language. It's an information rich language, and they have to date failed to find a way to explain how, not only how DNA the molecule could have evolved, but even more importantly, how the information contained within the letters in that molecule could have evolved to provide the information necessary for producing a living organism. And think about it this way, you no doubt you might remember when you were in school. I remember when I was in grade school, we had the alphabet up on the wall. It went across the blackboard in the front of the classroom, and you know, A through Z was up there, and all the letters were there. But if you took those letters and just jumbled them around, like if you play Scrabble or something, you get a jumble of letters. But information, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but information arises when they're arranged in a specific fashion to produce a specific purpose or message, and that's what information is. I'm using the letters of the alphabet right now and sounds, the way they sound, in order to form words that I can string together those sounds into words and those words into sentences that hopefully I can convey some information rather than just making alphabetical sounds, which would be meaningless and senseless. So he says that thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, meaning not developed yet, and in thy book, that would be the DNA. All my members were written, the DNA coding for what you are going to be, what color your hair is going to be, what concentration of melanin your skin will have, what color your eyes will be, how tall you might have the potential of being, and just many things that are coded in your DNA. So we have an individual that's created at that time, and it's clearly medically a new person. Biologically, it's a new person. According to the Bible, it's a new person. And as I said, it's a unique DNA complement, different from the father, different from the mother. One of the common misconceptions, if not outright lies, associated with abortion is it's the woman's body. Oh, no, the woman's body is not the baby's body, and the baby's body is not the woman's body. I'll give you proof on that. I've said it before. I was once a man trapped inside of a woman's body. Then I was born, because when I was conceived, my DNA was distinctly different from that of my mother. For instance, I received a Y chromosome from my father. My mother has no Y chromosome. The female is XX, the male is XY. And so women do not have the Y chromosome. And so if you're a male and you're an unborn child, clearly that male child is not the woman. I mean, you can see that very clearly. The female child is not the same as the mother either, because she's got different DNA as well. But I use the male child, the male unborn baby, because you can see that very easily. It's common sense. It's very common sense. But thankfully, we have people who have been standing up for life here in this country and here in Ohio. And as I said, I gave a shout-out to Senator Rogner and Representative Romer, both pro-life voices down in Columbus, and we had just recently the Supreme Court this past week issue a statement where they have allowed a pro-life law in Texas that's a heartbeat bill, very similar to what we have here in Ohio. Of course, Senator Rogner was key in getting that bill passed, and when we look at that, that decision that came out here, a 6-3 ruling just the other day, where the Supreme Court said that the Texas abortion ban I'm sorry, not the Texas abortion ban, the heartbeat bill would be allowed to stand right now and stay in the Fifth Circuit Court, I believe it is. But the point that I'm making is this bodes well for Ohio's heartbeat bill, which we have, thanks to some of our pro-life senators, pro-life representatives down in Columbus that passed this bill. And the governor, true to his word, he campaigned on it, said he would sign it, and he did sign it. But of course, the abortion industry did not like it. They understand what it means. It means it'll save the lives of unborn children, and they fought against it, filed suit, and so it's been in the courts. Well, this Texas decision is sure to bear on that, but we'll let the courts figure that out. But I just wanted to give some common sense things, because the Bible is very clear in regards to taking of human lives, and there are areas in the Bible or occasions in the Bible where a human life can be taken. For instance, in Exodus chapter 22, there's a passage that says here, starting verse 2, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. And the point there being is you're in your house, somebody breaks into your house in the middle of the night, and you pick up your club at that time, or your sword, or whatever you had, an instrument of deadly force, and you strike the guy, and he dies. You've defended your home, you've defended your family, you've defended yourself. The right of self-defense is in the Bible. And so no blood be shed for him, meaning that the person that killed the thief should not be executed. It was a justifiable killing. And now it distinguishes in the next verse where it says, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then shall he be sold for his theft. And it goes on to talk about how to treat the thief. But the idea being that you saw who broke in, you didn't do anything maybe to him that night, or he got away, and you say, well, I think I know where he lives, and you go find him the next day, and vigilante style, you kill him. Now you're guilty of murder, and blood is to be shed for him, just as if somebody murdered somebody else. We also know in the New Testament, in Romans, the Bible says that the minister of God bears not the sword in vain, and that's talking about, you know, the police officer, and we can also extend that to the military, and the right to have capital offenses, capital punishment, and things of that nature. But this goes back to Genesis chapter 9, and let me turn back there. When Noah and his family got off from the ark after the flood, the Bible tells us that God made a statement to them, and in Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse number 5, he says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man." I'm going to pause there for a minute. This is man or beast that kills somebody. We're not talking about an accidental, or we're not talking about a justifiable, such as defense or something like that, but we're talking about a murderer. And if an animal kills somebody, or if a person kills somebody, murders somebody, their blood is required. He says in verse 6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." And ultimately, when you destroy, when you kill a human being, it's an attack upon the image of God. The Bible says that God made a man in his image in Genesis chapter 1, and in Genesis chapter 2, you see where God took the dust of the earth, formed the body of Adam, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that would be the spirit, and then he became a living soul. We're in the image of God. God's a three-part being: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and we're a three-part being. In the image of God, our flesh, our body, our physical presence is roughly analogous to God the Son. Our spirit is analogous to God the Holy Spirit. And our soul, the thinking, emotive, the part with our will and our intellect, that is the equivalent of God the Father who made the decisions. And so we're in his image, and an attack against man is construed here, he says, as an attack against the image of God. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So God takes this very seriously. And then, of course, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, specifically he's talking about murder. And I find this interesting when we look at these passages, and we see the controversy in the courts, where 49 years ago, the court came up with a supposed right to privacy, which really does not, we don't find that, it doesn't appear in that sense in the Bible. I know in the Fourth Amendment, we have the right of people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. Well, that's not anything to do with abortion, which has to do with depriving someone of human life. So the question then becomes, do we find in our founding documents, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence in particular, do we find anything that has to do with defending human life, whether it can be taken or whether it should be protected? And the answer resoundingly is yes. Just like we find in the Bible a defense of human life, we find it in our founding documents, in the Declaration of Independence. And when they wrote this, and of course, it says, we hold these truths in the second paragraph, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are, and what's the first one they list? Life. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And he continues, but do you see that in the Declaration of Independence, our founding document, there's a recognition that an unalienable right, meaning a right that cannot be taken away from you, is life. Well, this is a very strong statement. What about the Constitution itself? Well, the Constitution itself begins with, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Well, I would read into that that promoting the general welfare sure would have something to do with protecting the lives of people in America and securing the blessings of liberty. If you're deprived of life, you don't have the blessings of liberty anymore, certainly. We can read that in there, but where does it have it directly? Well, you go through the Constitution, there's a process for putting amendments to the Constitution. The amendments have just as much effect and importance as the articles of the Constitution. And it's interesting, in the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, we read in the Fifth Amendment, it's talking about no person shall be held to answer for capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment or grand jury, and it goes on talking about that. But as it continues on down toward the end of the Fifth Amendment, it says, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Now, wait a minute. If you are a distinct human being at the moment of conception, the Bible says that, biology says that, science says that, common sense says that, well, wouldn't that mean that you should not be deprived of life without due process of law? Now, this idea of abortion on demand, which we've had for 49 years, thanks to Roe v. Wade, has deprived millions of unborn children of life without due process of law. All they had to do is go into an abortion clinic somewhere and say, I don't want this child. Where's the due process of law protecting? Say, well, it's the woman's choice. It's the woman's body. As I said before, the baby is not the woman's body. The baby resides inside the woman's body. Later on, it will be outside of the woman's body, but it's still a distinct human being. And this is what the Bible has to say about our relationship between people and what laws have to do about the relationships between people. The Bible and the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution both argue for protecting the life of that unborn child. Say, well, was there anything else? Well, I was looking through the Constitution here today, and unfortunately, most Christians neglect the Constitution as much as they neglect the Bible, but you should read it. You should look at it. You should have a copy of it that you can refer to just as you read your Bible. You should read it every once in a while, and you'll find something over in the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, ratified July 9th, 1868, and it talks about all persons born or naturalized in the United States, and it says this, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Now, this is interesting because the Fifth Amendment, somebody might say, well, that's only the federal government. The states then, like Texas or another state, can deprive the person, can allow abortion. But it says, nor shall any state deprive any person of life. When you abort an unborn child, you have just deprived a person of life. And in the United States of America, if you have common sense and you read the Constitution of the United States of America and you read the Declaration of Independence and you understand that life is considered an unalienable right given to us by our Creator, and that the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment both say that no one should have their life be deprived of life without due process of law. I think that is explicit enough that reading some kind of right to privacy to allow abortion that's not spelled out in the Constitution or anywhere in the articles or the amendments has been a travesty that has been pushed upon this nation for the last 49 years. And I'm optimistic that the way that the Supreme Court has been ruling here recently, that we may yet see the Roe v. Wade decision done away with. Now, what will that mean? It'll mean that the pro-life situation, this issue, will go back to the states, and it should be decided in the states. But we do have guidance. The federal government and the states' governments, according to the Fifth and the 14th Amendments, if you read this with common sense, now, remember, I said read it with common sense. I am not a lawyer. I am not a constitutional attorney. I'm just a person that is reading the words, and I'm letting the common sense make just that, common sense. When it says, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or process without the due process of law, I guess I'm just ignorant enough to believe that when they wrote that, they meant that. That means that if someone's life is going to be forfeit, there has to be due process of law. That's why we have a legal system. That's why, in order to execute someone for murder, there has to be a trial. And we understand the Constitution gives us the right to a trial. The Sixth Amendment, for instance, talks about the right to a speedy and public trial, an impartial jury, and we understand that. We understand the Fifth Amendment not being compelled to give testimony against ourselves. But who's going to speak up for the unborn child, that millions of them, thousands every year, having their lives taken from them without due process of law? I think it's high time that the courts weigh in on this and declare that United States is a pro-life nation and that the 50 states of this nation are pro-life states. I think we've got good basis for that, much more basis for that than the ill-founded, ill-decided, and ill-argued Roe v. Wade 49 years ago. The time has come for America to stand up for life, side with the Constitution, side with the Bible, side with medical science, biology, and common sense. Thanks for listening today. Join us next time. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.